time, I ask you now to bow your heads and pray with me. Lord God, take my lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and speak to them. Holy Spirit, bring conviction to our hearts through your word and initiate healing and transformation in our lives by your power and by your activity. And Jesus, it's in your powerful name that we pray. Amen. So this morning, Christ the King Sunday, we're taking a look at our gospel reading from Matthew 25. And if you want to follow along in your pew Bibles, it's page 831. Or in your own Bibles, Matthew 25, beginning with verse 31. As today is Christ the King Sunday, in all things we celebrate his lordship. The final day of the church calendar. Jesus Christ is the King, as scriptures declare, and he will return again. They also declare that. Jesus will return to judge all according to their lives, their sin, and according to their faith. He will return and judge you and me. And it's in this passage from Matthew 25 that we hear Jesus himself proclaiming this. Look at verses 31 and 32. Jesus says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory," he's already identified himself as the Son of Man. So Jesus is saying, when I come again, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. This is the clearest scripture where Jesus declares his role as the final judge. And as we read in this scripture, not only is he the final judge, but we also read that judgment will be of all the nations. No one is blameless. And they're not all speaking the same language when they're gathered. If they're gathered from all the nations, can you imagine that picture? All colors, all tribes, all languages brought together and then separated by the judge. That's what the kingdom of God is going to look like. All tribes and nations. He gathers them all, but then he separates them one from another. As a shepherd separates sheep from their goats, he will judge them. And he will judge them, as we see in this parable, based on their stewardship, the stewardship of their hearts and of their lives, of all that they are, of their time, of their talent, and of their treasure. We read that the nations are ultimately judged based on their actions and their stewardship toward what Jesus called the least of these. And in his judgment, look at verse 34. To the group on his right, Jesus says, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." That group hears, "Come and receive your eternal inheritance, your reward." Now look forward to verse 41. Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Two different models of stewardship. Do you think stewardship of time, talent, and treasure is important? You bet it is. Because as we see here, it's the difference between receiving an inheritance or receiving condemnation from King Jesus. I submit to you, as we take a look at this parable this morning, Jesus' judgment of us will be based on three things. They'll be based on knowing Jesus, on recognizing Jesus' mission, and responding to Jesus. The judgment will be based on knowing Jesus, recognizing Jesus' mission, and responding to Jesus. So first, we're taking a look at knowing Jesus. These are Jesus' words from John chapter 14. He declares this himself, where he says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It's only through knowing Jesus that one receives salvation and an eternal reward. It begins with knowing Jesus. And it's not just head knowledge, but it's transformation of the heart. It's acknowledging that Jesus is God the Son. It's acknowledging that Jesus lived and he died on the cross for your sin and for the sin of the world. That Jesus conquered death through his bodily resurrection from the grave. And salvation is received as we submit to him as Lord and Savior, turn to him as King. It's only through knowing Jesus that one receives eternal salvation, that eternal reward. So all of this is based on first knowing Jesus. Now we turn to our second point, recognizing Jesus' mission. Recognizing his voice and his call. Look at what Jesus said in this passage in verse 35. He was saying, "Why did you receive this? Why do you receive salvation?" He says, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." They recognized Jesus. They knew him. They recognized him and they saw his mission in the midst of the world around them. As you submit to Jesus, as you grow in faith, you will also grow in your ability to recognize his activity and his mission in the world around you and in the lives around you and in the circumstances around you. We learn to recognize where Jesus is leading us to give time, to give of our talent, and to give of our treasure in the service of others. And I know reading these passages, that can sound like a heavy weight. Well, what if I miss something? What if it can bring fear? And I want to assure you, this is not a call to be all things to everyone. This is not a call for you to address every need that's presented to you. That's not what Jesus is saying. It's not compulsively responding to everything, because that wouldn't be healthy. There would be no life in that. There must be prayer and discernment to discern what God's doing, what God's calling you to do, not just knee-jerk responding to everything. And this is also not a call or not a passage about earning salvation, that if you serve enough people, then you'll be good enough. That's not the message here. This is all about recognizing Jesus in the needs around us. As you're transformed through salvation found in knowing who Jesus is, as you seek to follow him, you begin recognizing his activity. And then we come to our third point. You have the opportunity to respond. To respond to the needs as they're presented to you, whether through giving of your time or your talent or your treasure. So it starts, salvation starts with knowing Jesus. Apart from that, it's just good works. It's just empty things. And last week and the week before, we talked about the passage, "Lord, Lord, didn't we do great things in your name?" And Jesus says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Apart from knowing Jesus, they're just good works, empty. knowing Jesus is the foundation, then recognizing Jesus' mission around us, and this final point, responding to Jesus. It's not enough just to see the needs and understand his call, but he calls us to action. Your response to Jesus, to the needs around you as he guides you, will reflect the condition of your heart, and it will reflect your stewardship of the gifts that he's given to you. And as I've said earlier, this is of crucial importance. In our reading from Ezekiel, we also see the importance of God's people's stewardship of their lives. So if your Bibles are open, turn back a few pages to page 722, Ezekiel chapter 34. You're getting a little workout with your Bibles today. So Ezekiel 34 in the Pew Bibles is page 722. In verse 11 of Ezekiel 34, we read, "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out." Much as Jesus gathers the people, here we read, God is going to seek out his people from where they're scattered, from among the nations. And he's going to bring them all in. And then in verse 13 we read, "And I will bring them out from all peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them to their own land." He gathers them in and he provides for them. He gives them land. Then to verse 14, God says, "I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed." In verse 14, we see Jesus, or the Lord, not only provides for them, he feeds them, and then he gives them rest. This all sounds great for God's activity among his people. Verse 16, "I will seek the lost, I will bring back the strayed, I will bind up the injured, I will strengthen the weak." And then as we move to verse 17, then we find judgment. Verse 16 ends with, "I will feed them in justice." And in that judgment, we read God's word there in verse 17. God says, "As for you, my flock," he's talking to his sheep, "thus says the Lord God, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats." Very similar to what Jesus said, "I'll separate the sheep from the goats." We have this image of judgment here. Judgment of his people. And on what basis is the Lord judging them? Look at the next verse, verse 18. The Lord says, "Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture that you must tread down with your feet the rest of the pasture? Is it not enough of you to drink of clear water that you must muddy the rest of water with your feet?" In this passage, Ezekiel speaks of judgment for careless stewardship. The first picture of eating but then treading on the rest of the grain. There was a carelessness about the bounty that was there. And of muddying the water, if you've ever walked through a stream, you know the stream can look clear, but as soon as you put your foot in it, then the dirt is stirred up. They're not just drinking from the water provided, but they're treading in it. And what's the consequence? What's the price paid there? Well, other sheep suffer. Because of the carelessness of stewardship there, other sheep are suffering. They either don't have their food, or they can't drink clean water. God, through the mouth of Ezekiel, hundreds of years before the arrival of the Messiah, declares that the Lord will judge between sheep and sheep based on their responses to his provision and their stewardship of what he gives them. Today, in these two passages, we have before us the judgment of the Lord. And we see that passing through the judgment will be dependent first on knowing Jesus, then recognizing Jesus' mission and responding to his call as we steward the gifts that he's given to us. And I want to close today reminding you that stewardship involves much more than money. Stewardship reflects the condition of your heart. It involves all that you are, your time, your talent, and your treasure. And I want to make that point going back to Jesus' words in Matthew 25. You don't have to flip back there. I'm going to have that up on the screen for you. If you want to turn back there, it was page 831. But looking at verses 35 and 36, where Jesus said, I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Recognizing Jesus' mission in the lives around you and responding first involves prayer and discernment before action. Because Jesus may lead you, as some of these examples are, he may lead you to give food or to give clothing or to give money. But at other times, he may lead you to give spiritual seed, spiritual food. He may lead you to just love the other, to give prayer and compassion, to give your presence and your time, your eye contact, your kind words. I was a stranger, Jesus says, and you welcomed me. How do we welcome others, especially as we're thinking about the nations? How do we welcome those that don't look like us or that don't smell like us? I was a stranger and you welcomed me. A kind look. Asking their name so that they feel known. Not just walking by and saying, hey, how you doing? And continuing on your way as we do so many times. God may call to your attention someone and it's stopping. Looking, making eye contact, listening so they feel heard. Jesus goes on to say, I was sick and you visited me. I was a prisoner and you came to me. And I don't think Jesus was just talking about physical illness or physical incarceration. Because there's also spiritual sickness and spiritual imprisonment that's tied to sin and death. For those that don't know Jesus, they are lost and they are imprisoned and they are sick. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you have the light of Christ in you and you have the opportunity to bring that light to them, to bring Jesus' love to them. And it may not involve giving them anything, but your attention. My sense is that time with someone and paying attention and getting to know their name will lead more toward Christ and salvation than giving lots of stuff. It's about building relationship and taking the time, the sacrifice of time. A person may ask for money, but the Lord may lead you not to give money, but time. And I want to call to your memory Acts chapter 3. Peter and John were walking through the temple, and there's a beggar, and he asks them for money. And how does Peter respond? Peter says to the man, look at me. First thing he does is he makes sure the man knows that Peter's paying attention to him, but also he wants to make eye contact and see him. Look at me. And I also believe in that moment, Peter was praying, Lord, what do I do here? You may be thinking, well, what's it mean to meet someone, then walk away and have to pray and think? This happens in an instant. Peter says, look at me. He looks into his eyes. He knows what Jesus is asking him to do, and he says, I don't have silver or gold, Peter says, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, walk. And he helps the man up, and he's healed. You think that was scary for Peter? Yes. I don't care how many times Peter healed others. You're in the temple. Everybody's looking. And Jesus, you're asking me to do what? To be bold. To do what Jesus is calling you to do. That's the life of a disciple. Knowing Jesus, paying attention to what he may be doing, and taking a moment just to pray, Lord, what do I do? Do I give something? It might mean driving to get them food. Can you wait for it? It might be walking with them to get food, inviting them into your car to get food if that's what they're looking for. It may be an inconvenience, but it all comes to this sense of stewardship. Stewardship is important, and there are consequences for our stewardship of what God has blessed us with. From the passage in Ezekiel, we heard, when we're careless with our resources as his sheep, other sheep suffer. For me, stewardship is way more than our church budget. And I know the members of the church here, we've talked in recent weeks, and you may be thinking, is this why we're talking about stewardship? Because there's a deficit, and that's not why. We do this every year at around this time, and I didn't choose this preaching series. This came from our spiritual forefathers through the lectionary. It was these three passages that came in sequence. So this isn't a contrived message. But stewardship is way more than the church budget, because our stewardship involves other sheep being fed or suffering. This is all about your hearts and my heart being bowed before the Lord first and foremost, and not before idols, declaring our dependence on him first. Here's a statistic. In the year 2000, the Social Capital Community Benchmark Survey, that's a mouthpiece, a mouthful, they showed that households with income less than $20,000 gave 4.6 to charity, and households earning $50,000 to $100,000 gave 2.5%. And I found another study. Now, this is not just Christians. This is all. So this is the really generous, the wealthy, those with less. In 2011, the average giving for those making $45,000 up to $1 million still was only between 2 and 4%. And these numbers reflect church is giving, church members giving as well. Stewardship is way bigger than our church budget, because if God's people either worked toward increasing their giving to a 10% number or to whatever Jesus is calling them, or if we all reach that, can you imagine the resources God would have at his disposal through his church? Can you imagine the ministry it could fund, the disciple making, the gospel sending that it would do? And I want you to know that Redeemer is not dedicated to having more stuff here. Your leadership is committed to being godly stewards of the resources that come in. And I would love for them to have the opportunity this year to have a surplus and get to make the decisions. So what ministries then do we fund and bless? Where do we invest this in God's kingdom? Where are we able to feed other sheep, whether physically or spiritually? That is what I hope sticks with you. That stewardship begins with knowing Jesus. Responds with recognizing Jesus' activity and then responding. And as you prayerfully consider this, your stewardship of time, talent, and treasure before next week's ingathering, I pray, Lord Jesus, lead us as your people. You are the King of Kings, you are the Shepherd, and we are your sheep. And we ask this all for the glory of your name. Amen.